Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of Vatican Weekend. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Coming up in a few moments, Blessed Pope Paul VI and artists. Interviews relating to the first ever World Humanitarian Summit, which took place in Istanbul on the 23rd and 24th of May. Linda Bordoni brings us the voices of the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Holy See's former envoy to the United Nations, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, and Cardinal Antonio Tagle of Manila, who took part as the president of the aid agency Caritas Internationalis. But first, let's listen to what Pope Francis had to say at his weekly general audience with pilgrims from across the world this past Wednesday. Charles Collins reports.
At the end of his general audience, Pope Francis called for prayer for the victims of the attack and asked God to convert the hearts of those who sow death and destruction. More than 160 people were killed in the coordinated attacks on the cities of Jabla and Tartus, government strongholds in Syria which have remained relatively untouched throughout the country's civil war, which is now in its sixth year.
È un dovere di tutti proteggere I bambini.
The Holy Father also marked International Missing Children's Day during the audience and said it's a duty of everyone to protect children, especially those exposed to elevated risk of exploitation, trafficking, and deviant conduct. Pope Francis expressed his hope that civil and religious authorities might stir consciences and raise awareness in order to avoid indifference in the face of children on their own, exploited children, and children far from their families and their social context, children who cannot grow up peacefully or look with hope to the future. He then invited everyone to pray that all missing children might be restored to the affection of their loved ones. During his catechesis, the Pope looked at the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow, saying it's a reminder to pray unceasingly. Pope Francis said if the widow can bend the will of the unjust judge, then God, who is a good and just Father, will do justice to those who cry out to him day and night. I'm Charles Collins.
Moving on in the broadcast. A top-level Holy See delegation was present in Istanbul for the first ever World Humanitarian Summit that took place there on the 23rd and 24th of May. This summit, convened by the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, as the world witnesses the highest level of human suffering since World War II, brought together governments, humanitarian organizations, people affected by humanitarian crises, and new partners, including the private sector. Our very own Linda Bordoni was there and kept herself busy by doing plenty of interviews. Naturally, among those she spoke to were members of the Holy See's delegation, including the former envoy to the United Nations, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi.
The Holy Father wanted to have a significant delegation coming to this first humanitarian summit for the world of today. And the Secretary of State himself, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, is guiding the delegation. That includes also the representative of the Holy See in New York and other persons from the Curia, from the field. The topic, the point of reference to which everything is directed, is assistance to the victims of the many crises that we face today. We need to ask ourselves why today there are so many people suffering because of forced displacement or because of natural disasters, the largest number since the end of World War II. And the way to begin to find a solution is to address the causes of this situation. First of all, there is an excessive, extraordinary, I would say, explosion of violence in different corners of the world. And these points, hot points of violence, prompted Pope Francis to say that we are facing a third world war in pieces. The international community is becoming aware that an extraordinary number, perhaps as the Secretary General of the UN just reminded us, perhaps 130 million people are in urgent need of assistance around the world, either because they are escaping war or they are victims of war, because of the bombing, because of the extreme poverty, because of failed states, for a variety of causes. The end result is that in a totally unacceptable number of people are suffering. To try to remedy this situation, the effort underway aims at convincing the international community to address this problem by becoming, first of all, aware of the current status of the victims of various disasters, man-made or natural, and then to see if together there is the possibility of bringing about some concrete, specific solutions. Similar gatherings called by the United Nations have taken place in recent years, but the follow-up has been fairly empty. It will be deceptive and lost chance if even this time the promises that are being made remain empty and are not going to be kept. Those who are going to lose out in this kind of result are the victims that are doubly penalized because of lack of solidarity with them and because of the reasons that prompted them to either lose their houses, forced to be exiled, or losing part of their family because of different disasters. The Holy See wants to stress that the priority of solidarity is indeed based on the fact that we are one human family, and therefore we have a responsibility to each other. The Secretary General of the United Nations, in preparation of this summit, put out a report titled One Humanity, Shared Responsibility. And it is exactly what needs to be recognized. However, between the words and the deeds, there is a huge gap still. And this gap needs to be closed. It is a fact that faith-based organizations, and especially Catholic communities, through their different activities, like Caritas or like other organizations or even the regular parish assistance activity, are present on the ground with limited means and resources, are providing effective assistance. Money is not everything that is needed, because people need a sense of fraternity. They have to experience that they are not abandoned in the moment of crisis, and that's why it is so important that on the ground there is not only a solidarity in delivering emergency food, clothing, shelter, but also the emergency of accompaniment, of being together, of showing a sense of humanity and love that these people are not abandoned.
Can you tell us what proposals the Holy See is bringing here?
Yes, the Holy See, besides attempting to sensitize and creating public opinion that moves in the direction of solidarity, it takes specific commitments along the line of the core responsibilities outlined by the Secretary General of the United Nations. Some of these priorities are conflict prevention and disarmament, safeguarding and upholding humanitarian law, and participating in responses to natural disasters and climate change, and in particular at this moment also paying attention and doing something concrete for the massive displacement of people that is taking place.
Now we've listened to the Holy See's former envoy to the United Nations, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi. Why not listen to Linda's interview with the man who led the Holy See's delegation, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin?
I am happy because I was able to attend this meeting. As far as the result of the meeting are concerned, I think that this is precisely the challenge, how to put into practice, how to assume action in initiative following the lengthy discussion which has been held during the meeting. And I think this is the challenge for everybody. Then we will see. We hope that, and we wish that the summit will do it. And I think that the international community has the possibility and the capacity to do it. The important thing, as usual, is the political will.
The role of faith-based organizations has been much highlighted at the summit. You yourself have been involved in some of the events. Do you think this brings us a step forward as well?
Yes, I think that the awareness that the faith-based organization really they are supporting a great contribution, and sometimes they are the first which arrives in the places affected by conflicts or natural disaster, and sometimes are the last to leave the place. And because of that, I think that they are very appreciated, because they share with people their situation, and they are close to them, and they show to them this mercy and charity, which is the main character of the Church.
They're also what the summit calls for, putting humanity into the center of humanitarian aid.
Yes, this was really one of the things that struck me, that we repeated many times, we heard many times this declaration that humanity is at the center. An organization, I think that it was a business community. Humanity is our first business. We hope so, really. We hope so that maybe this is the change of mentality that we need, and that we hope it will be the result also of this meeting, just to put the person, but the concrete person, not the person in general, because sometimes we speak about but the concrete. As the Pope says in his message, the child, the elderly, the woman, to put them at the first place and to serve them.
He also urged us to learn from those who suffer.
Yes, that was, I think, the main point of the message of the Holy Father, that we should learn from them. Otherwise, we are not able to change our mentality and to change our way of operating.
It was very clear to me that the Holy See has a lot of respect. People wanted to speak to you. You were invited into many of the events. What does this say?
Yes, because I think that the Holy See, I would like to say that, first of all, is the Pope. Pope Francis, really, I was able also to experience during these days how much he is valued, is appreciated everywhere. And for his commitment, for his closeness, really, I think that this is the reason why, first of all, the presence of the Holy See was very, very taken into consideration. But generally speaking, I think that really the Holy See is a voice of the moral conscience. I say this with great humility, but really it reminds to many things that is important to take into account in the solution of these questions. And then people is willing at least to listen. I don't know if to accept, but at least to listen, and is grateful to somebody who is just taking the part of the human person without any other interest.
I have spoken to people here from a lot of different religious denominations, and they all agree that Pope Francis is perhaps the only uncompromised world leader on the scene, and they all love him.
Yes, it's true. You are right. You are perfect right. And I was just surprised to hear from many people that I don't know, or that really they are impressed and moved by the Pope personality and the Pope's action.
Having listened to the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, what I'd like to do now is bring you yet another of Linda's interviews at the World Humanitarian Summit. This time it's with Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle of Manila, who took part as the president of aid agency Caritas Internationalis, the helping hand of the Catholic Church.
Now, we're hearing a lot of big words. What strikes me is this word, reshaping humanitarian assistance, rethinking it in a moment in which humanitarian assistance is in crisis. How can we do that? What is your proposal here?
I get overwhelmed when I hear those big words. a part of me says, yes, we must address these things. But, you know, big words, and you say, but how? How? I think from the experience of the church, the local churches most especially, and I'm here to represent Caritas and the local Caritases. First of all, we want to bring the attention of everyone. Since this is a humanitarian summit, let us consider human beings seriously. You cannot go more concrete than that. We are dealing with human beings. And it is sad if policymakers and the people in the academe and those with political power would address the humanitarian crisis only in terms of figures, statistics, and the juggling of some theories. While that might be necessary, I think the first concrete way is to go back to the human beings. Hold the hand of a survivor of a calamity. Enter the shack of a refugee family. Listen to the stories. That's one. The second is, and this is one of the advocacies also of Caritas and I suppose of the Holy See, is yes, humanitarian assistance is important. And in Caritas, we've learned that international donors and agencies must respect more and more the principle of subsidiarity because they come from the top. And sometimes, you know, they mean well, but the local communities know their cultures, their needs, their situations better. And so allowing or enabling the local communities to really get involved in their own rehabilitation or the rebuilding of their lives, I think is important. And thirdly, we have to address the causes of the conflicts that drive people away from their homes. Or if it is a natural calamity, then we should address the climactic changes and the lifestyle that would help us cope with these changes, prevent disasters, etc. Now, I'm getting this uneasy feeling where a successful humanitarian relief effort is hailed, is praised, but people should not stay for long in that humanitarian or refugee or a victim mode of existence. That should be dealt with swiftly for their good and for their dignity.
So maybe that's one of the ways of rethinking the humanitarian process?
Yes, I think so. Because, and I say this with a heavy heart, and I hope I am mistaken, when a relief effort is so efficient, so efficiently done, some sectors of society, especially those who could make decisions, political decisions, might postpone making those decisions, which would, in a way, address the roots of the problems. And they'll say, well, anyway, the needs of these people are addressed through humanitarian needs. No, but it's not a substitute for political decisions. No.
Can I ask you what event you are going to be taking part in?
I was invited to be part of that Door of Religion in Human Development and also in Humanitarian Response. There are many of us who will speak, and they come from different religious persuasions, affiliations. But we're already happy that there is such a section devoted to learning from the responses of the different religions in the world. But I myself would want to propose that maybe we could also tap into the wisdoms and the treasures contained in the different religions to address the conflicts, not just extending compassion to the victims, but what resources do we have in our respective religions to instill peace? How do we build bridges? How do we have a humanity that is more reconciled and peace-loving? I'm sure the different religions have enough resources. But can we tap them?
That was Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle of Manila, president of the aid agency Caritas Internationalis. Getting back to Rome, a Jubilee pilgrimage took place here to mark World Communications Day on the 19th of May. And on this occasion, the prefect of the Vatican Secretariat of Communications, Monsignor Dario Viganò, addressed the media and artists present on this occasion as artisans of communication, and at one point quoted the words of Blessed Paul VI, who in a memorable speech to artists in the Sistine Chapel spoke of gleaning the secrets of the skies, expressing them in colours and shapes, so as to bring about a transformation which might be at once accessible, unique and transcendent. But why not step back in time to that landmark speech of Blessed Paul VI in the Sistine Chapel and listen to a programme from my archives in which I bring you comments from the late Cardinal Edmund Schocker and from Monsignor Peter Fleetwood of the Liverpool Archdiocese, focusing on this special event, as well as naturally sound clips from this famous speech of Paul VI. On one memorable occasion, with the council still in full swing, in an unexpected gesture, the Pope of the time, Paul VI, called artists to gather around him to renew and seal the sodality between church and art. He used very explicit words, quote, "We must leave to your voices the free and powerful song of which you are capable."
There was historically that connection between the church and art, but then there was an estrangement for some time, and Paul VI wanted to recall that, to bring back that relationship that had existed for centuries.
The late American Cardinal Edmund Casimir Schocker knew Pope Paul VI personally. I asked him what it was in this Pope's personality to forge such a patron of art and artists. Cardinal Schocker told me, in his view, it stemmed from a combination of great sensitivity and radiant spirituality.
It does not surprise me that he would have a great interest in art because of his deep spirituality and because art ultimately expresses the spiritual. And I think that it'd be just a sort of natural consequence of his own deep spirituality and his ability to see beyond the material to the transcendence of everything. I think it was a natural consequence of that ability that he would have such a great interest in art.
And indeed, following in the footsteps of Paul VI in a letter to artists issued on the eve of the new millennium, many years later, the late Pope John Paul II highlighted that concern in an increasingly secular society for greater affinity between art and faith, dedicating it to all who are passionately dedicated to the search of new epiphanies of beauty, so that through their creative work as artists, they may offer these gifts to the world. Mentioning that landmark moment in the Sistine Chapel in which Paul VI gave voice to his thoughts, in an effort to bridge that gap between art and faith, a moment recorded by our Vatican Radio sound engineers. Let's listen.
Sono mai venuti gli artisti a Papa? È una prima volta anche questa, forse. Per secoli sono sempre stati in relazione.
Have artists ever gathered around a Pope like this before? Pope Paul VI's gentle voice questions the artists he's invited to join him in the Sistine Chapel. It's May the 7th, 1964. The occasion is unusual. A mass for artists in that cynical of artists, the Sistine Chapel.
Religioso, proprio per noi, non come gente che sta nelle quinte, ma che viene davvero.
Paul VI is out to provoke. He knows all too well that for centuries the church and art had enjoyed an extremely prolific love affair. But what he's forced to admit is that at some stage that love affair dwindled, marking a decline destined to last for almost two centuries. As he says this, his voice wavers wistfully.
Come avviene fra parenti, come avviene anche fra amici, ci si è un po' guastati. Non abbiamo rotto, ma abbiamo turbato la nostra amicizia.
I was fascinated to read that speech by Pope Paul because the church had lost its way a little bit with artists. There was no more patronage in the Renaissance sense. All the energy seemed to go on stressing the mind and the consistency, the logic of what the church had to teach. Very much a world of words, whereas the images lost out.
Signor Peter Fleetwood, former official at the Pontifical Council for Culture, the Vatican office that deals with art and artists.
During that speech, the Pope says that the Church abandoned artists, but the artists abandoned the Church as well. Is that right?
Yeah, they'd each gone their own way. He wanted to apologise, which is a remarkable thing. It was a very humble, avuncular kind of speech. He was saying, the Pope's your friend. I really want you to be sure of this, that you're very welcome in the Church and we should get back together. You've gone off losing the standards that you used to hold so dear and stopped reflecting a beauty that mattered very much to the Church.
Ci avete un po' abbandonato. Siete andati lontani a bere ad altre fontane.
To start with, Papa Montini's voice expresses hesitancy, almost regret, as he begins chastising artists for abandoning the Church. But his passionate commitment to the cause of art soon surfaces, spiraling into a cry of vehement reproval.
Dimenticate il canone fondamentale della vostra consacrazione all'espressione. Non si sa che cosa dite. Non lo sapete tante volte neanche voi.
No longer does he whisper, I don't want to offend you here today, but you did lower your standards, lost sight of true inspiration. Your art became offensive to humanity. And what is the result? Confusion, a Tower of Babel.
Diventa un linguaggio di Babele.
Artists had gone their own way, in a way that really he thought the Church couldn't always approve of, like not looking to standards of decency or beauty in the classic senses. The effect of different currents of thought left its mark on the Church as well, and there was too much rational thinking taking over. And the thing that lost out was the emotional side, or the more explicitly artistic side in people's character.
Riconosceremo che anche noi vi abbiamo fatto tribolare.
But while Paul VI does rap artists over the knuckles, he also admits to the Church's responsibility, its failure to foster art. A failure that brought that image as patron of art and artists to an end. Paul VI explains why. Attributing it to a clash between the artist's boundless creativity and the Church's imposition of styles with limiting rules and regulations in the field of art. That brings me up to time. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick. Thanks so much for listening. Should you wish to find out more about our programming, check out our website at www.rv.va. And be sure to like our Facebook page as you go along. You've been listening to Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.